Good morning, everyone. Solbeke? I'm sorry, my pronunciation is terrible. I have a phonetic heartbeat here. I shall try my best to give you the right verses, but my pronunciation is terrible in all languages, including... Okay. Mum and Dad, Mark and Ruth Shepherd, send their love. It's, I think, 43 years since they moved away, so some may not remember them from here, but they do send their love. I'm going to look this morning for exhortation at a theme that we find in the... What I should do is bring a physical ESV instead of using an iPad. I'm not used to speaking from an iPad, but I've got an interlinear, and I'd rather speak from the ESV. It's New International. I'm not changing versions at this stage in life. A theme that's picked up in John's Gospel, John's letters. If we could turn to the reading that we've just taken from John. Just to take a couple of verses from what we've read, and about the positiveness of the message that John gives us, and it's so the first letter of John, chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard in the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. It's a promise that we've been made of eternal life, and that is an absolutely fantastic thing to have, to be able to hold and to be able to use in our life as an aid memoir, as a raison d'etre, as a way forward. Those are the only bits of foreign languages that I know. I can greet you in two Zambian languages, and I can just about get away with a little bit of Farsi, apparently. I can see my wife pulling faces at my use of French. Right. But what is our attitude to that promise? Will you come with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. So that's This is far too complicated. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. And this is the paralytic man being brought to the Lord Jesus and saved. And we're not going to look at that story this morning, but I want to look briefly at what the Lord Jesus says to the man and to his friend. Verse 1 reads, getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. It's that take heart that I want to look at this morning. It's the same theme, really, as what John has talked about in his letter. It's the same idea of having an appreciation of that promise of eternal life and holding it to us. It's also useful to note that it is the faith of the other people that saves the man. And it's an interesting worked example, if that's the right way to describe it, of what James will say in chapter 5 and verse 15, that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much in its working. And I want to think about what our attitude is to our salvation. Do we take heart? Are we positive about our salvation? Do we grasp the positivity of it with both hands and use it in our day-to-day life. Okay. Saying that we need a positive attitude to salvation doesn't mean that life is going to be easy, that there won't be negatives in our life, that things won't ever be difficult. I'm sorry, I've brought my dog with me. He's now scratching his collar. I couldn't work out what the noise was. My apologies. Sorry. It doesn't mean that life won't be difficult in any way, shape or form. It will. We may struggle. But we need to recognise that we have our sins forgiven and we have access to salvation. Turn with me, please, to the second of Corinthians and chapter 4. Second of Corinthians, chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. And they read, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Yes, we may struggle in day-to-day life, but our attitude has to be positive towards our end goal, towards that eternal life that we long hope for. And then, would you come with me again to Hebrews chapter 12? And verse 1 and 2. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since," and this is in the context, obviously, of the chapter of faith, those who had looked towards the Lord Jesus. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And so we need to lay aside those sins that beset us. We need to run that race that we have been asked to do towards that kingdom. I don't know if anybody remembers or met Bob Lloyd, who was an American speaker, and he would challenge in his 80s the youths to run, and he would lay them down with everything, and he would beat them in a race, although that towards the end became harder and he failed to win. But we need to lay aside those things that put us, that slow us down, that worry us unnecessarily, and have a positive attitude towards our salvation. The whole point of the Lord Jesus Christ was that he came to save those who needed saving. Now, we're in, those of us who are here in the meeting room are on the second floor, and we have no life rafts in the room. It is totally devoid of life rafts. For those of you who are on Zoom, I can assure you, no life rafts. It's not really a problem. We don't need a life raft. We are very unlikely to drown here. And when I was thinking about this in the caravan yesterday, I wasn't entirely sure that this was going to be the case, but it does seem that we are unlikely to drown. If we were by the sea, if we were in a boat, we'd need a life raft. we need the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life raft, our life belt. Come with me back to Matthew chapter 9. Just to look at some words that the Lord Jesus spoke there. So having had this man delivered to him, and he heals this paralytic, he has to explain what he's doing. And he then moves on to talk to Matthew, sitting at the tax booth, verse 10 of Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came to call the righteous, not to call the righteous, but sinners." Well, that's why we're here, isn't it? To remember that we're sinners, to lay that aside, to give that, if you like, to the Lord Jesus, for him to take away and for us to go away with no weight, no burden, and so that we can more easily run the race. But the Lord Jesus asks us, doesn't he, to remember that the Lord God requires and desires mercy and not sacrifice. So I'd like for a few moments just to look at that. If you look in your margin, you'll find that the quotation is from Hosea chapter 6. So if you'll come there with me, please. Hosea and chapter 6. And of course, it reads very similarly. But let's take verse 4. Let's take the first six verses of Hosea chapter 6. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord is going out as sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as a light. For I desire steadfast love or mercy, and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And just as the Lord God showed his love in Hosea's time to Israel, and desired mercy and not sacrifice from them, so we need to show that steadfast love, that mercy of the Lord God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read of the starting of a return, coming back to the Lord God. And it's of course important to know God. It's important to come to an understanding of him. I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. A knowledge of our salvation, a knowledge of why we need to come to him rather than ritualistic, process-driven salvation, which we do not have. We need to understand, to press on, to know the Lord. This idea is picked up for us in Micah and chapter 6, and your mind will probably have already gone there. Micah chapter 6, please. and verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, old man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And so again, the Lord God gives us this idea that he does not want the ritualistic following of after salvation, but to think about the way we are saved, why we are saved, to love his kindness and his mercy, and to walk humbly before him, to recognize our place before the Lord God. And we need, if we're going to show mercy, if we're going to show loving kindness, to deal with people, because that is how we do it. We cannot be Christians on our own. We need to deal with people. We said at work this week, I work for Severn Trent, the water board, that life would be, yeah, I know, it's terrible. Life would be so much easier if it wasn't for the customers. It would make everything a whole heap easier. Certainly, it would probably mean that we don't have a job. But we need to deal with people in our Christianity. That is the whole point. Our interaction with others is the way we need to live our life. Can we be pleased to Luke chapter 6? That's Ephesians. Luke. And verses 37 and 38. Verse 36 for connection. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. So if we are going to have a positive attitude to our salvation, we need to have a positive attitude to everybody else's salvation. But we need to think that everybody else can be saved. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Because if we don't, then we condemn ourselves, don't we? We need to recognise the good in others. Our faith needs to save others. We need to bring people to the Lord Jesus. And will you come with me to John chapter 13 as well, please? John 13 and verses 34 and 35. And just as we read earlier this morning, John picks this idea up in his letter, doesn't he? And the Lord Jesus spoke these words. A new commandment, verse 34, I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And of course, it's actually very easy to love one another as we decide to love one another. I can love you just a little bit if I have an issue with you. But actually, Jesus says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You've got to love in the same way that I have loved you. And that makes it a whole heap more difficult, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? That makes our discipleship much harder. But we're to have a positive attitude to ours and others' salvation. And that perhaps will make it a little more easy. having a positive attitude, I suppose, is having faith, isn't it? Come back with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9. And here, again, we have the idea of taking heart and having a positive attitude to salvation. Verse 22, you'll know the story of the woman with the issue of blood who touches the fringe of the Lord Jesus' robe. Verse 22, Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. And then verse 27, the blind man. As Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, son of David. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. So that's the burden on us, isn't it? To go away and spread his fame through all the district, to show his love to those around us. And as we now remember his love, as we think about what he did for us, we need to remember that he has and will save us. That the only thing standing in the way of our condemnation is ourselves. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Verse 26, for as often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the blood, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. Let a mad person examine himself then, and so eat to the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. And so we recognize the Lord Jesus and our position before him. We recognize his ability to forgive sins. And we remember our sins and his death on the cross. And go forward positively into the next week, remembering our salvation. Thank you.